Please be seated. This is an example of a risk in education when you turn the podium over to an art professor in chapel. Anyway, my name is Bill Bukowski and I teach art classes here, and I've been asked to talk about the altarpiece. And some of you have heard me talk about it before, and some of you know I was the artist for it. That's why they asked me. I did the painting. But the altarpiece was commissioned, I believe, by a committee in 1994, painted in 95, and dedicated in 1996, just to put it into some kind of time frame for you. But the church has used art since the beginning of Christianity to help in worship. And the function of church art is to direct your thoughts, to enhance worship, and to designate the space for prayer and meditation. It's not a photograph or an exact record of an event, or for the sake of art for art's sake or for beauty. It has a very distinct, different use than modern art. And the altarpiece was designed with moving doors because I think that was the taste of the committee. But altarpieces with moving doors have been popular since about the 12th century in Christian churches throughout Europe. I was thrilled to get this opportunity to do the painting, and as an artist, I found it especially challenging. I like to work from life in my own work, which means I like to see something in front of me and then paint what I see to try to find the ingredients, the special ingredients. And so to do this one, to start with the one thing needful, I had to do some research, and I at first talked to the professors, A.D. and Mark Harstead, because both had been to the Holy Land, and they had many resources for me. And the more I studied it, I also looked at the stained glass window at the entrance to the women's dorm in Old Main. And it's a beautiful stained glass window, but I needed to try to do something a little bit differently. I think the founders of Bethany were particularly inspired when they came, when they used this for our motto, the one thing needful. And the one thing needful, of course, is the gospel of the crucified Savior. And what we have here is an invitation to join Mary and Martha with Christ. And I needed... The oddest thing about my experience was I needed a model for Jesus, and Bethany had an art show going, a juried art show, and a man walked in who looked exactly like Jesus. And I thought, Jesus came to the art show. And I talked to him, and I found out he was a 33-year-old carpenter. So I thought, well, at least I found my model. I have the model. And I had maintenance build the cross, and I tied him to the cross. He was good about it. But in this first panel, with the doors, when the doors are closed, you see Mary and Martha and Jesus. And I wanted to separate Jesus from the two using the actual physical door. But then his gesture is the hand is pointing to Mary, but his eyes are going to Martha. And the story is recounted in Luke 10, verse 40 to 42, where Jesus is in the home of Mary and Martha, and he's talking, he's preaching, and Martha is distracted. And this is so embarrassing for Martha, isn't it? She goes to Jesus and says, "Don't you care that I have to do all the work while Mary is just sitting here?" And Jesus turns to her and says, "Martha, you're worried about many things, but Mary has chosen the one thing needful." And of course, the thing about it to us is that Mary is who we think we are, but Martha is who we are. And that's one of the embarrassing things, I guess, for us too, because you look at it and you say, well, of course, if Jesus is talking in my house, I'm Mary. But in truth, if you want to be truthful to yourself and to myself, we're Martha. And it's perfect for a college community. Well, it's perfect for everyone, but it's especially perfect for us because we are worried about many things. We're distracted by many things. Midterm is coming up. papers are due, or papers need to be corrected, or quotas need to be met for admissions, or there's many things we're worried about, or funds need to be raised for that big hole in the lawn. So we are distracted by many things, but in truth, we are Martha. And we are worried about many things, and we need to always remind ourselves that the one thing needful, the gospel of the crucified Savior, is what we should be focusing on. Now, as you look at the painting, I wanted the natural light to kind of combine, to fuse it together. So I had a window in the middle, and then I wanted more light to be shining on Mary physically, because she's listening to Jesus, and less light on Martha. She's half in the dark, literally. Figuratively, literally, if you want to look at it that way. But the painting is designed in perspective so that you're invited to sit down. There's a mat in the foreground of the painting. So you're literally invited to sit down at Jesus' feet and join Mary and Martha. The way the painting was designed, I at first thought I would put a crowd in, a crowd scene with a lot of different people and a lot of other things, but I decided let's pare it down so that it's very clear. So you're invited to enter the painting and sit down at the feet of Jesus. And then there's that psychic line between Jesus and Martha. He's looking at her, but he's glancing to Mary. So there's a triangle of gestures that connect the three. I had students pose for the models, and I had Jesus pose for Jesus. His dad was a minister, and so he was Christian. He did understand what I was asking him to do. One of the nice things about an altarpiece like this one is that you can change the image, and the change can be very dramatic. The choir uses it at Christmas time in their service, and when you're watching and listening, it has quite a dramatic effect. So the committee, though, really allowed me to suggest the interior. I wanted to do the crucifixion because in the history of Western art, it's one of the most famous images, and I wanted to take a shot at it, so to speak. I wanted to be able to do this because giant religious images, you just don't typically paint unless somebody wants it. And when a culture or a community wants it, it happens. And when they don't want it, artists, you know, don't just do it. And so the first panel, reading left to right, is actually, I wanted to assert Jesus' birth as a real human being. In the early church, there was a discussion and argument that Jesus wasn't a real person, he was just a spirit. And so a lot of the depictions wanted to make it clear he was a real baby, really born, a man. And so instead of doing the nativity, I chose to do the flight into Egypt. So they're preparing. It's actually supposed to be dusk, and they're preparing. They're leaving. They're in a hurry. Some of the things that are spread out in the front of the painting are objects that symbolically refer to Jesus and his ministry. So the bread of life, the living water, the light of the world are all depicted in still life objects in the foreground of the painting. In the background, you can see a shepherd and sheep. And it was based on images from the Holy Land. The central panel, of course, is the death of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. And I chose the point of drama with the darkness over the earth. I used a red alizarin crimson glaze on the bottom to show like Christ's blood, shedding his blood for us. The skull is an old symbol, a reference to his victory over death and also to the place of the crucifixion. And so the depiction of the skull throughout the Byzantine, the Middle Ages, into the Renaissance, the use of the skull is an old symbol. For this, I wanted to try to show different aspects of mourning, the sorrow of, and again, I wanted to pare it down to the essence rather than showing Roman soldiers and a big group of spectators. And so it's not supposed to be a photograph. It's supposed to be a reminder. It's supposed to direct your thoughts to the sacrifice of Jesus. And it's interesting how critical, how many people are critics of the style or of the type. But you do what you can at the time and make it as best you can. In the last panel, the resurrection, of course, Christ lives and he paid for our sins and has resurrected from the dead. And this one shows dawn. And I wanted to do it this way because of the direction of the altarpiece is on the east side, you have the sun rising, so you have the Christ rising, and on the west, you have the sun setting, so I have this hurried flight into Egypt. And so these paintings were exciting and thrilling for me to do, and at times, I think they can be a distraction for me because I always look at them and say, well, I probably could have touched it up just a little bit. But if you could only take away one thing from Bethany, from your experience, and you look back at the one thing needful, you would make it all worthwhile. Thank you.